radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Colossians chapter 3, title of the message today is Satisfying the Flesh. As if that's a goal, right? Well, it's the last verse of chapter 2 where the Bible says that the neglecting of the body, will worship, and willful humility has no honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So we get our title from that verse, the satisfying of the flesh. And we noted the last time we were together that this word satisfying the flesh means satiating the flesh or somehow reigning in the flesh. First thing a believer learns in the early days of his walk with Christ is that the flesh is an unruly evil. It just wants to do what it wants to do. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans talks about it even as a seasoned apostle. He says, that I want to do, I don't do. That I don't want to do, that I do. When I would do good, evil is present with me. When we were able to study that together on our Sunday nights, we noted a good way to look at the flesh is as if you were given a job at a local zoo and you were told to take care of the lions. You had to feed them. And you had no experience in it. Well, you'd go in there with a degree of trepidation, wouldn't you? You had to feed the lions. Well, you, once you come to Christ, still have the flesh with you. So we're going to be talking about, maybe a better way of putting it, the satiating of the flesh. Neither is possible, but it at least gives us a nuance. You know how it is sometimes you get together with a friend, right? I heard about a couple of girlfriends that were getting into the whole, you know, gym zone. You know, they go to the gym all the time. They're going to work out all the time. You know, they're just really into it. And they got a good run, you know, a couple months of going to the gym faithfully. Boy, they were burning calories, they were running, and they were doing, and they were looking good. Well, you know how you text your girlfriend on the victories and on the failures. Well, the one girlfriend texted her other girlfriend and said, just burned 2,000 calories. Yeah, I know, right? How do you do that? And then it was followed up by a quick text that said, I'll remember not to take a nap when I've got the brownies in the oven. Okay. So she failed in the background. She burnt the brownies. You see, this is what I'm saying about that, is that when you and I are dealing with the flesh, we need to realize that when we go into the battle of walking with Christ, everything that the devil can throw at us is going to be thrown at us. I was mindful of a passage when I was studying for this one out of Numbers in chapter 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. We've heard that many times, but now if you are fanning your minds for what Numbers is all about, you will recall that that was when Moses was talking to the people about how the land was going to be portioned out. And Gad and Reuben and Manasseh wanted to have the land on the east side of the Jordan before they went in to take the promised land. And it was at that point that these words were spoken, be sure your sins will find you out. And the reason it's super relevant for you and me is because they wanted to stay on the east side. And when they made this request to Moses, Moses just really began to lay out all of the things that this sounded. It sounded so terrible. Who do you think you are? You know, you got to go in and you got to work with your brethren. What is it? You think you can have ease and we all have to work and... And they said, no, after he finally concludes, after he goes on a little bit, they say, no, we want to fight with you. We'll build some pens. We'll put our cattle here and we'll go with you and we'll do what we can do. And subsequently, he said, all right, if you go with us and you do all you need to do and you don't leave till the final amen, he said, that's okay. But if you do other than that, be sure your sin will find you out. Now, the relevance for you and me is this, is that many Christians come to faith in Christ, but they don't lean in. And they don't do what they need to do. They don't walk with Christ. And they don't do the hard work of growing and adding to their faith virtue and their virtue knowledge. You see, and because of that, they become sitting ducks. And when he says, be sure your sins will find you out, it wasn't a threat, it was a promise. It's not about threats. God's not saying, be sure your sins will find you out to make you feel nervous in the sense that he's going to get you. That's the way people think. They think God's out to get you. God's not out to get you. He came to save that which was lost. Salvation is from sin and its dominion. But there are consequences to behavior, and if we go on and on and on without Christ at the center and without keeping our eyes on Him, we're going to find ourselves in no time in a thicket because the devil's got thickets everywhere. You can remember maybe certain scenarios where there were people in woods and there was different kinds of fights going on, but people would put booby traps out there. Devil's got booby traps everywhere. Pits and stakes and all kinds of snares. And when we find what the Colossians' problem was, that they had begun to drift away from applying themselves to the Christian life. And as they drifted away from applying themselves, the devil was quick to offer them some alternatives. You can become legal like the Jewish believers who were saying, no, you keep the law, make the law part of your Christian experience. And then you'll be happier. You'll feel better about yourself. Man, you can keep the feast days. You can do a... And then other guys came in from their own background, which weren't religious in the biblical sense at all. They were just worldly religious. And they said, no, you can worship angels. Man, you can deny yourself. You can be like the ascetics, those people who deny themselves. These people would say, you can do that. And what I'm saying to you is that the devil will quickly offer you something other than Jesus. And so when you come to chapter 3... you're dealing with the narrative that talks about none of those things having any honor. There's nothing there that's honorable that will satisfy the flesh. Because you cannot satisfy the flesh. You cannot satiate the flesh. The flesh is constantly your enemy. It lurks. It's like an enemy within. And you have to rein it in. You're going to carry this. You want to know how Paul depicted it? I told you about how he said, that I want to do, I don't do. That I don't want to do, that I do. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? The body of death was a Roman execution method. They would take somebody who was to be executed and they would literally tie a dead body on his back that he couldn't remove. And as the corruption of that dead body that was lashed to his back would continue to putrefy, the person would be driven mad. Paul said, that's what it's like living with this flesh. You say, well, I don't have any problems. Well, if you don't have any problems, it's because you're not bothering the devil. You've already taken one of the side roads. I'm going to go worship angels, or I'm going to go and be legal, or I'm going to get my list. I'm going to say, I did this. I'm good. Me and God's good. No, he says, listen, no. Verse 1, it says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, there is no satisfying the flesh. You ever heard somebody say, well, you just can't please them. No matter what you do, you just can't please them. Can't please the flesh. Can't do it. So what do? Are we just destined to be miserable? No. He says, listen, the alternative is not trying at all to satisfy the flesh. Not trying at all to prop it up, paint it up, make it look better. No. He says, the thing you need to do is you need to respond with your spirit. You need to drill down and find out who you really are, because who you really are is you are a child of the living God. You are a delivered, saved, sanctified, unreprovable, unblameable, and holy individual before God. The title saint is applied to you. That's what it says in chapter 1. He says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, he's speaking to every believer out over the entire body of believers in Colossae. And he's basically saying, for as much then as you are risen with Christ, because he's referenced in verse 20 of chapter 2 and in verse 3 of chapter 3 that they are dead. And he says, but now that's not the whole story. You didn't just die when you came to Christ. You didn't die to self and die to sin, and now you're freed from sin. It's just not that. There's something else. You're risen, too. We talk about it in our baptism. We'll say, you know, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death. Raised, we bring him up. Why? Because Christ rose from the dead. And now we can walk before God with a fellowship with him that Jesus Christ himself purchased for us. He says, if you be then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, this word seek is interesting. It has two sides to it. One is to seek as for worship. You know, you seek. Where can I find Him? You know, sometimes you go through a day and it seems hard and difficult. May I just suggest a couple of strategies in those cases? The first strategy is what the Bible would call being filled with the Spirit by singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. You just drill down and you begin to find that song. You don't have to sing it, but you can hum it. You can let it go over and over in your mind. Just ruminate, because ruminating is meditating. And after a while, you'll find the right song. And you know what's funny is I was at this conference a couple of weeks ago, and we were all in the middle and had a break, and I went into the elevator to go up to my room, and I was whistling a song. Maybe you remember the Robin Hood, the Disney version. What is it? Robin Hood, Little John walking in for... And I was whistling this. Four people in the elevator like, I know, I love that show! You know, it's this dumb song. But it was funny because we were all lifted already. I didn't need to necessarily ruminate. I was happy in my soul, and that was the song that came to my mind. My point is this, is that when you don't know where God is, you can't just feel that presence next to you or in you or a pearl. Find that song. Find that song. The other thing you can do is just sit down and read your Bible. Just walk away from everything you're doing if you can. And just drill into a chapter and don't leave that chapter. Just keep reading that chapter over and over and over and over and over again. Years ago, it was told this story about a man who was really desperate. And he got into desperate straits. And he began to think, I need to get in the Bible and find out what God has to say to me. And he opened his Bible just randomly to one verse. And it said, Judas went and hanged himself. Well, that wasn't what he needed. Judas went and hanged himself. Yeah, I got to try it. He opened it again. He said, I'll try this. This is going to work for me. He opened it again. And it says, go and do likewise. Wait a minute. Whoa. All right, we're going to give it one more chance. Open his Bible. What thou do as quickly. No, wait a minute. That is not how you read your Bible. You read it before and after the crisis comes. Before the crisis comes in preparation, after in praise, because God will get you through. But sometimes you need to get yourself by the scruff of the neck when things are just a little bit dull, a little bit lackluster, a little bit difficult. And you just find chapters and you stay with them. If you have a favorite chapter, read it and read it and read it and read it until God speaks. Because I'm telling you something right now. If you take John chapter 3, where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, you'd be sitting back saying, this is so good, but that's just one verse among 36. You begin to read it and you begin to say, you must be born again. You begin to read it, something else pops and it says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Suddenly you're getting some lift, and suddenly it says, he that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. My point is this. The Word of God is what you need to be seeking. He says, seek those things which are above. Seek as if to find a place of worship. Seek as if to get back your lift. Because as long as you don't have the lift, beloved, you are fair game for the devil. You hear what I'm saying? When he says this, it's not just a seek once in a while. It's be seeking all the time. When you begin to lose altitude, you know, it's like you're flying along. Mounted up with wings as eagles yesterday, but today, you know, hey, you know, nothing going on. Find that good spot and stay there. Because it will help you with the flesh. You've got to ignore the flesh. You've got to go for the heights. You've got to go for the lofty places. The Bible says, if you be then risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. And I like the concept that not just risen from our association with Him in death, but risen, lift, buoyancy, right? We're walking in the Spirit.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily.
as we go to the Word.